Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I didn't mention, but I want, if you guys would think of it. Oh, I do thank you for your prayers. I do feel my eye is getting a little better. It's kind of slow. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. A lot of times the night driving gets to be a little, those headlights are pretty, but I am not seeing as bright of a spot when I close my eyes, so I think the fluid is probably going down. Some of you that may not know, about a few weeks ago, I developed a really goofy vision where it's distorted, almost like I'm wearing somebody else's prescription, but I have some fluid built up on my macula. There's 10 layers over your macula, and your macula is what your center, your focal point of your vision. It's naturally a flat line, but right in the middle, there's a little dip, and that's where the fluid settles. So it happened right just before the Peacock meetings, about a week before. And they say it can be just added stress, maybe an increase in caffeine. I don't know. I'm a man. It happens common in men, I guess. But so who knows? It can be weeks to months before it goes away. But I do feel it's getting a little better. Vision is still a little distorted, but... And then also, if you guys remember to pray on Friday, I have a job interview still within the company. But just, I was asked to apply for a new position by some peers. And so I just asked the Lord's, you know, work, his hand on that. And it's not that I'm looking for it in essence. It was kind of sought out for me. So kind of just going to go with it and see what happens. But it's more on a maintenance sector. So when someone's digging in their yard and they didn't call for locates and you hit the wire and cut the fiber, I'm the guy to come out and fix that. So, and bigger stuff. So we'll see what happens there. But that's on Friday at noon. All right, Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. We're going to go ahead and read this whole story. It's a very popular, in an essence of what's, I've heard it preached many a times. But, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am I no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So here we have the story, the parable of the prodigal son. This is one of three parables that Jesus speaks of the lost in this chapter, in which he explains his love and receiving of the sinful and the lost souls. Like I said, we've all heard this many sermons and different types of sermons on this passage alone. And so it's a very well preached passage. And I know it's a picture of God the Father and us getting saved and God being there and receiving us. And I know all that. But this is kind of how it all set up. About 5 years ago, I think we were counting back, I might have preached maybe my first message. And I have the notes, but I don't really remember what I said. And I know probably all you guys do remember. But the first message I did was on faithfulness. And I know this has been a topic. This topic has been on my mind and heart a lot lately. So I apologize if I seem redundant, because I know I touched a little bit on this a few weeks ago in Romans when I was going through Romans 12. But I also been wanting to go back and relook at that and rewrite it. So that was my thought process, and then the Lord, just out of the blue, this parable came to my mind, so I got looking at it, and I didn't really rewrite the message. So it's still going to be the unfaithfulness, but it's not really how I did before. So we'll title it The Father's Faithfulness. Now, I was just doing some thinking about it, and I just tonight, let's see if we can just learn some things from it and be. I kind of want to remind you of some things that are constantly on my mind. But I don't know about you. I think it was mentioned in one of the prayer letters. But I can feel the spiritual pressure tightening these last few years. I don't know if you guys can. Matter of fact, I was just in a church at 4 o'clock, a Catholic church down in St. Paul. And outside, there was a restaurant, and it was barbecue food going. So that smell. And then I told the guy, I said, man, it smells good. He goes, well, wait till you come inside. They've got soup cooking. So they had soup cooking. Well, on Wednesdays during Lent, they do soup dinners, I guess, on Wednesdays. So they had soup cooking downstairs, and boy, did that smell good. But I said, yeah, you have a lot of people. He goes, no, the numbers are down. And we're trying to get just people in the neighborhood to show up, and nobody's got any interest. So nobody's got interest. Nobody's interested in anything spiritual. All you got to do is look around and talk to people. People my age got no interest in going to church. They got no interest in God. But you know, one thing is for sure, and I've seen it with folks at work and just different aspects, is when they're going through something, they ask you to pray for them. They want to go, they want to search out God, but they just don't, only when it convenience them. And so, also this whole eye issue is kind of in just the different spiritual pressure is tightening. And, you know, and the more that we step out for Jesus Christ, the more we try to do to draw closer to him, the adversity is going to grow stronger against us. And we're going to feel it. We're going to feel things that try to go against us and try to take our mind and our focus off of what we're trying to accomplish for Christ. And we can't help but look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may desire or devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So we know things are going to happen in our Christian walk, our Christian journey. And things are going to happen that are going to make us want to give up. You know, before we went to Brazil, I don't know if some of you remember, now I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I pinched my sciatic nerve and my whole left side locked up. I couldn't stand up. It was hard to lay down. And that was like a month or two before we were going to Brazil on a campaign. And you hear of just missionaries trying to get to the field, and they have visa issues, and they have all these different things that compound and just can kind of just, that can really drain a guy down and just make you just like, is it really worth it? I mean, you start thinking like, do I really want to put myself, and you look at maybe your so-called friends in the world and like, oh, they're having fun, they're not worried about anything, and I'm going through all this, but you start wandering, you start looking over there, and as it says in the chapter, the far country. And, you know, but as we go through those things, like it says in verse 10, it's going to make us perfect. It's going to establish, it's going to strengthen us. It's going to make us better. And I hope you guys aren't tired of hearing about it, but I know the ministry of Campaigns for Christ comes up a lot here in preaching, right? Because it's close to my heart, it's close to Dave's heart. We're constantly thinking about it, we're focused on it. So it's always in the front of our mind, right? If you're always, you're going to talk with how you think. So that's just a little side nugget. But, so I just hope you just don't like, oh, here he goes talking about that again. We hear the same thing. But no, listen, the devil hates what the ministry is doing. The devil hates it. I'm talking about thousands of scriptures that have already been handed out in the last 4 years, not even 5 years. And those scriptures are going out and they're changing people's lives. Souls are being saved and Christians are drawing closer to God through it, whether it be here with yourself or in the foreign field. Missionaries are being encouraged. So this is all, like I said, this is all stuff that's on my mind and my heart. And so when we try to do something for God, things will come up in our life that will try to discourage us from doing the work of God. That's just the way it's going to be. I mentioned my pinched nerve for Brazil, my eye. I'm sitting there in the doctor's office and she's like, you got any stress in your life? And I'm like, well, not really. I mean, I haven't really got this huge amount of stress, I don't think. Oh, type A personality is another one. But I don't think I'm a type A person. But I said, well, I said, you know, and I'm telling this twice in that same visit. I am going to Africa in about 6 weeks. Well, what are you doing there? So we start telling about the whole mission. And get a little bit of a, you know, just a little nugget of gospel in there. And I said, you know, there's stress there, thinking about that. I said, 2 years ago before I went to Brazil, I had a pinched nerve. And they're like, And then one lady, she got so encouraged, she wrote, she's going to pray for us and everything. So it's, you know, it's kind of neat. Someone told me a while back that he's been having to see the doctors a lot from falling and breaking things and having just different visits and this, and able to give out tracts. And if he wasn't in that spot, if he hadn't fallen and broke a leg, he wouldn't have gone to the doctor to see that specific person at the reception desk or wherever. Would that person have gotten a tract? Would I have maybe been an encouragement to that lady at the eye doctor about our service, what we're doing, the ministry? I don't know. She probably wouldn't have known. So try to, you know, when you get discouraged, try to look at things like, maybe it's a help. Maybe God's just sending us, like Brother Peacock was saying, our journey, our road to the castle is not a straight road. There's going to be little offshoots, but, you know, and you're going to go along and help somebody. Also, another thing, I don't know if Dave mentioned, I'm sure he did in men's prayer, but Pastor Daniel over in Malawi, his daughter has been sick and was in the hospital with a high fever, and he's one of the four main men. So there's things that can you get the idea? The distractions, the things that can cause, if he hadn't done anything with the ministry, would his daughter been sick? I don't know. Frustration with airline tickets. These are just some things I wrote down. I've never seen so much issues with trying to get airline tickets. But in just maybe some practical things that's happened to you, you're on your way to church. You're like, we're going to go to church, we're going to have a good time, and you get a flat tire. God, I'm on my way to church. I mean, you give me a flat tire. Why? You know? It's just like, I should have just stayed home. But no, things like that, and the list goes on. Things like that, if we're not careful, we can let these distractions get to us and quit the fight, right? So I know that's kind of not, that's kind of just setting us up. So let's go back to Luke 15. And when I was thinking about faithfulness, I was thinking along the lines of just giving up and not staying faithful to what you do. And then Luke 15, and this passage came to mind, and I was thinking about it, and I thought about the father. And so, you know, the father had two sons here, right? An older and a younger. And the one son turns and goes to the far country. So I was thinking about that and just thinking about what the father is going through. And you can also say the mother. And, you know, and just the things of just the daily stress, the daily, the heartache that it can cause a father. And Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. The son wasn't going on a missions trip. So it's not like he was leaving, right? He was going to do something good. He wasted his substance on riotous living. See that? Verse number 13. Foolishness. So that's just my. I kept thinking back to the father, and you've probably of people, or you've been around long enough to where you've seen that just people take different directions in life, and you see how it affects people. And when all you're doing is thinking about yourself, this goes for anybody, any age. When all you're doing is thinking about yourself and what pleases me, you're not going to think about how it affects Seth. You're not going to think about how it affects Annalisa. You're not going to think about how it affects Jen. You're not going to think about that until it's too late. And some of you have been here long enough to know I have three siblings, and my one brother I haven't spoke to in a long time, and I've seen what it can do to a family. I've seen what it can do to a mom and a dad. So I have a little bit of a background, a little bit of a basis to stand on to know what it does. And I'm not saying this to bring anything up. I don't want to rehash anything. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to make you think about when life gets tough and you don't want to keep trucking along and giving up, you want to give up, just think about that stuff. Put your mind, or just think about the Father in this chapter. And I know this Father also is Jesus Christ. I know that. And how many sleepless nights did the Father have, did his mother have? How many? We don't know. How many tears were shed? The stress on the rest of the body. Think about this for a moment. Think about this. Our Father in heaven, every time we sin, every day, multiple times a day, what does he go through? It's convicting to think that this is how the Father feels when we sin against him. What a disgrace. What kind of a slap in the face to him, and say, you'd hang up on that tree for me? yeah, I received your son. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got eternal life. But I'm just going to go out and do what I want to do. I don't care what you think. What a slap in the face. And what a slap in the face to any one of us that wants to give up and throw in the towel after all the time and effort you put in for everything and the service that and what God's done for you in your life every day. It's very convicting to think about that. I'm thankful that my Father in heaven is faithful to me. He's merciful. You can't just sit down and think about that. It'll blow your mind how merciful. You can't comprehend how merciful he is. How many times a day do we put him through that? And that is what, when I was thinking about that, this is where my thought process went. And that's how I got to where we are right now. Now, all this time, the Father here in Luke 15 remains faithful. And we know that because the Son comes back home. Right? So next time we should remember, so the faithfulness of the Father here in Luke 15 is something we should remember next time we are faced with a thought of giving up. What about that? I'm going to jump ahead now, but what about if you were to give up and the Son came back and he wasn't there? And you weren't there. You weren't there for that friend that's been watching, that coworker that's been watching you for years. And all of a sudden, boom, you're off. And now they got some trial time in their life and they're looking for you. And where are you? You're nowhere to be found. That's not being faithful. The Father in this passage, he was looking. He saw his Son coming afar off. He was always watching for him. He didn't give up. I'm sure he just kept praying and asking God to change his heart, to change his mind. And he just kept looking and kept waiting. You ever move the clock on the wall? It's been over here for 5 years. You're like, oh, I'm going to hang a big painting there and I'm going to put it on this wall. But you're always going over here to look for it, right? Because you're looking. How many times did the Father just continue to look down the road? Every time he went by the road, he's like looking, just looking, right? How many times you drive by the church and you're looking for the turkey in the tree? You get looking for it, right? You get looking for it. How many times? We don't know. But I just lost my train of thought. So, remember that. Remember the Father in this chapter the next time you think of giving up. And just remind yourself that your Father hasn't given up on you. He never will. And with that thought in mind, it should make us want to do all the more better for him and try to put a bigger smile on his face than what there's already there. So you may ask, why is it important that we remain faithful? Well, since you asked, we'll go over to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, verse 89 and 90, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth not. The Lord is faithful to everybody, to all generations. So, why do we need to be faithful? Why is it important that we need to be faithful? I kind of already said it. Because look around you, sitting right next to you, our little children. We need to be faithful because of the next generation. Our children, our friends, our coworkers, our parents, anybody. Anybody that you know that is going to have a struggle in their life and they're going to come to you and ask you, and it may just be, will you pray for me? And they're opening a door. They're acknowledging something about you. And they're willing to ask. They know you have something. They know you have a connection to something that they don't have. And they're willing to ask you for it. And you kind of just open the door slide right in there and give them the chance to give them the gospel. But if we're not faithful, we don't they're not going to be there. You can see this now with the generation that's coming up. And probably my generation, I think it more or less started in getting more relevant. But my parents would say, my age would say, I was hauled to church all the time and made to go to church. I'm not going to do that to my kids. And now they're growing up and they're like, what's church? You know, right? So it's when you leave it, where does it stop? It stops with the generation. And we need to maintain our faithfulness for the next generation. The Lord's faithful for all generations, even the ones that haven't come yet. Proverbs 13:22a, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And we know what that says. Is leaving the Bible. That's not just leaving the money. It's leaving more than that. If we don't remain faithful, how are we going to be able to be there for that prodigal son or that lost soul that's down in the muck and the mire? And he's wanting to eat what the swine eat, like the son did here in verse 15, 16. If we quit, what hope do we show that person? What hope do we show that soul? If the Father quit on us, what hope is there? What hope is there? Like I said before, if the Father here in Luke 15 didn't remain faithful, what good would it have been to the Son? And what a letdown would it have been for the Son to come home and the Father's nowhere around? What a letdown. Because maybe there was technology in that day. You know, maybe they had... can't think of it now. Before telephone. Yeah. So maybe he knew that Dad was still there, and maybe he knew Dad was still in church, and maybe he knew. I don't think so. Because I think when people go, I praise the Lord, I've never gone down that road. But I think when people go, they want to cut all ties as much as they can. Because they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. And when they're hanging with someone that's doing right, it's a constant conviction. And so I think he cuts ties. And he's down so much down in the muck and the mire that he's like, my Father, I had a good home. I was raised in a good home. My parents loved me. They cared for me. They had enough decency to bring me to church all the time. And you know, this riotous living, that didn't really do much for me. I'm going to go back home where I know that it's good there. It's safe there. You know, think of Joseph. I thought of this after Brother Peacock had went through the life of Joseph there on the road, the way to the castle, or the road to the castle, right? And Joseph's way was not the way any of us would have taken. But think of this. Think of all the people along the way that were watching him. The Bible doesn't say, but think about who was watching him and how he handled certain situations and how many people he helped along the way that never was mentioned just because he remained faithful and just doing what he's supposed to do, serving God, and just being about his Father's business. How many people did he help? I don't know, but I'm sure he helped some people. And so all that to say is it's important that we don't give up. It's important. The testimony of our faithfulness is going to help someone when we are least expecting it to. It's going to blindside you. If we give up on missions because we're tired of going through discomforts, how's that going to be helpful? I don't want to go on these missions trips anymore because fill in the blank. Well, there's people over there that are excited to see you. There's people in your neighborhood that are watching you every day or watch. My neighbor, I like my neighbors. I really do. But she saw, what did she see? She's noticed my truck hasn't left. Doesn't leave at the same time now. So she's like, what's going on? But she's what? They're retired, so they're watching, right? But there was a new vehicle or a newer vehicle in my driveway for something. I don't know, we had a vehicle, I don't know, when I have my dad's van or something, she's like, oh, you got a new car? You know, or a new truck, you know, because she sees my truck out there. But they're watching you. When you don't think, they're watching you. They're watching you. So you have to think about that before you throw a temper tantrum in your yard because you didn't get all the grass ain't coming out of the leaf bagger or something like that. But people are watching you. People are watching you. And your testimony and the faithfulness of just doing the same thing, being faithful in what you're doing, speaks more than you can imagine. And I have to remind you of this because we can't really go on without it. For those who think the world has more to offer, I pray that there's nobody in here thinking that right now. I really do. Because remember this, the heart gets into the far country long before the body does. How many times do you think about something before you go out and buy it? Maybe you shop on a whim, I don't know. I used to. But now I think about thoughts. It takes me a long time. Ask my wife. It takes me a long time to buy something. One, I don't want to spend the money, and two, I want to make sure I'm getting what I'm paying for. But the heart goes into the far country long before the body does. Today, the far country is way closer than you realize. With the age of technology that we live in, the far country is so close. It's so close. It doesn't take much. If you love, I got this out of one of Ruckman's books. If you love anybody more than you love Jesus Christ, if any hope is fairer to you than your hope of heaven, or if you love any book more than you love the Bible, you have already started for the far country. And the far country is a waste. Is a waste. I thank God by His grace and mercy that He's kept me as much as He can out of the far country. And I know there's different aspects of just everybody has different things in life here, but the far country is a waste. And if there's anybody in here thinking about going, ask somebody. Ask somebody what they think. Ask somebody, maybe they were in the far country and what they thought about it. How did it treat them? Just because you don't like being drugged to church every Sunday or every day the door is open, it doesn't mean that it's better in the far country. They look at down here in verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat. Now we like to eat pig, and pig tastes good, but have you seen what pigs eat? Pigs will eat their own. Pigs will eat their own. When you go down, you can go down to Texas and you can shoot as many pigs as your heart desires, and you can set up feed, and you can probably set up. I've hunted them before where we've set up scraps from a pig that we already got, and they would come and eat it. Pigs eat junk, but boy, they taste good. So when you he desired to eat that. He desired to have what they have. He desired that. So when you go into the far country, it's going to be deceiving and it's going to be expensive because he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted it. You may ask, well, what do you mean? Well, let me put it to you this way. I was just speaking with someone on Saturday or Sunday the other day, and they had a death in the, their mom had passed away. And they had left some money from a car accident thing or something like that. Anyways, They split it between his sister and him. And he took the money and he put it into his house, okay? Paid his equity. He gained really big equity. So then he was able to sell that house and move and got a different house. And, you know, you see the thing there, right? The sister, on the other hand, she went out and bought stuff, boats, motorcycles. And now he's living in a really nice house. She's living in an apartment. Not saying living in an apartment is bad. You're wasting that. I'm not doing it, not that. But I'm trying to prove a point that if you go out, and it's going to suck it all out of you. It's going to suck it all out of you. Sin is expensive. It will chew you up and spit you out so fast, it'll make your head spin. It'll make your head spin. What does the world leave you with? Slop bucket. Tells you to go feed the pigs. Leaves you with a slop bucket. And like I said, you don't have to go far to see it. If it's in your pocket, it's on your lap, it's on your seat next to you, it's right there. You can see it, and it's calling you, and it's beckoning at you, and it's like, hey, 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 over here, look at how much fun we're having. And just on a side note, today, somehow drinking got brought up at work, and they're like, you haven't had a sip, and I'm like, no. Really? Wow. I said, I'm having probably just as much fun or more fun than you guys are having. Oh, I doubt it. Well, then I was talking to one of the gal I work with. She showed me her, she's got some skin stuff going after having COVID, but she's got scars across her wrist on both sides. She's got pins and plates. And I said, what happened there? She goes, oh, that was a drunken stupor. I'm like, oh, I bet that was fun, you know. So it's not fun. It's not fun. So what does the world leave you with? A slop bucket. We need to, and tells you to go feed the pigs. We need to remain faithful. But, you know, look at this too. I have to throw this in there because we need to be careful ourselves. Look at the older son who stayed and remained faithful. What he did and his attitude shows that a guy can have all the good stuff, all the inheritance, and still have an ungrateful heart. He wasn't happy to see his brother come home. He became angry with his father on how the younger son was treated. You know what we do? We need to be careful to not let bitterness and envy get in the way of being thankful and gracious. You know, when you came to yourself, like it said here, back in 7, verse 17, and when he came to us, to himself, he said, how many hired servants? When you came to yourself, God reached down and pulled you out of the mire. He pulled you out of that pig pen. It was a glorious day, wasn't it? Why shouldn't you be happy for somebody that you're close to? Why shouldn't you be excited and encouraging to somebody that comes out of it? Said, hey, I got you. It's good to see you, brother. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're come out of the far country. We have to be careful. We get so complacent. We get so used to what we have and like, oh, why does he get a party? I don't get a party. Even though I just had some of the fatted calf the other night, I don't get any right now. You know, you see how your mind thinks? See how you get? But remember this. Remember, in verse number 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And if you've come out of the, if you've came to yourself, as it says, and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what he did for you. He said, I got you. Get that best robe over here. We're going to put it on him. We're going to wrap him up. And we're going to just make him look so pretty and so beautiful and just give him the best. He's going to sit right here next to me. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for me. And you have to remember that stuff. That was a glorious day. And we all have different, I won't call it stories, but we all have different things. You know, some of us were saved at a very young age. Some of us are not saved at a not so young age. So we all have different aspects and different things. But as I've grown and I've gotten, I was saved at age 10 and, or 7, 6. I heard a noise out there, so I thought, that sidetracked me, so I don't know if somebody wants to check. But I was saved at age 6. So I thankfully have not been, you know, thank the Lord I was not saved when I was 30. But I had to figure some things out. I had to understand some things when I got to be a teenager. I had to make it real for myself, right? So, but there's somebody here that maybe was saved at an older age, and to them it was more of a glorious day what the Lord did for them than for me. It was both the same, right? You're trying to get what I'm trying to say? And I don't want to think of it that way, but I need to think about how glorious it is that I have not been in the far country. That's how we need to approach it. That's how we need to approach it. So what do we need to be just constantly doing? You guys hear it over and over and over again. How many times can you cook a steak? Or how many ways can you cook a steak? You can only really cook it a couple times, right? That's what we get here. We get so much good meat all the time, but you can spice it a lot of different ways. So, all right, everybody has their own little thing. So this is kind of, you hear this all the time, but being in prayer, this Bible reading, and you got to be constant. We have to constantly be renewing our mind with the things of God, and that will keep us on the right path. That will keep us on the right path. So I hope tonight that this just helps. You know, when I was going through this and thinking about the faithfulness of the Father and my Father being faithful to me, when I treated him on a daily basis the way I treat him, it's very convicting. It really is, and I just hope and pray that this was a help to you. But I don't know what else to say at this point. I guess I'll just stop and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just being good to